Hello, and welcome back to the Stephen Tries Podcast, episode 17. Today I'm joined by Thomas Cooney, Max Smith.
Wow. Hello there.
David Rees.
Oi, oi.
And again, unfortunately we can't be joined by Joe McGrath, but the Free Joe McGrath petition has really picked up. We've had three signatures. unfortunately, David Rees said he doesn't want anything to do with him. If you guys could get involved, that'd be fantastic.
Great.
This week, we're talking about fame. Where should I start? Of course, it's not just going to be our own anecdotes of, you know, rowdy nights in the Hilton. Hashtag ad. But it's instead going to be... They wouldn't put their name to this. It's instead going to be, you know... Our experiences of meeting celebs, Howard from Halifax, for instance.
Man.
I shouldn't have gone with my ace up my sleeve, should I say? Stay tuned for more stories. We have peaked, but we might come back with something.
You never know.
Dave, how's life treating you?
Yeah, all good in the hood. House is going all right. I haven't had no knockdown and runs yet, which I was expecting.
Well done.
But nothing. My wheels are still on the car. That's all good.
Fantastic.
Can't ask for a better time. I went back home to Kent to see the family. They're all right. I know it's like not really allowed, but fuck it. This is coming out when it is allowed.
You've waited so long, Dave.
Exactly. So yeah, I've been good. How have you been? Been all right?
Well, Dave. I've got more questions for you first.
Oh, right, go for it.
You're not getting away that lightly.
is your girlfriend Jenna back up, or is she...
she's still up there. Yeah.
She's back up on her feet.
Yeah. she's doing all right. She's gone shopping at the minute, yeah.
Oh, so that's bloody women for you, isn't it?
Women, Primark.
Buy some sexy underwear for yourself, that's what I'll say to you. Because I lived with my mum for many years. It didn't go down. how was the family, Dave?
Yeah, all right. They've built a new bar down at the bottom of the garden.
A new one.
The old one got
fixed. My dad brought it up.
It's a bustling house.
Don't go to those twits. Yeah. Over the pebbles.
He got barred from the other one, so had to build a new one. But it was sick. It's World War II thing. My dad likes to buy load of crap on eBay.
Swastikas everywhere.
it's great. He likes to buy a load of World War II stuff, like from eBay. My mum's had to ban his eBay account. He's bought that much random crap. Like a piece of rusty metal that he swears is from a Spitfire. He's framed it.
What?
I was like, that could be off a bike, Dad. You have no idea.
I'm just going to pay for that.
I don't know, it didn't say, so it must have been a lot. He bought a love letter thinking it was from World War II, but it was on a brand new white bit of paper. No folded, no nothing. So, yeah, he's a bloody idiot, but funny.
Bless him. I've seen him on Facebook, Kenny, and he posts the podcast. You know, he's promoting, he's probably our only promotion. Senior Reese.
It's on in the bag.
Cheers, Dad.
Tom.
Yeah.
You've been up to all sorts this week.
Never.
Yeah, you ran a 10K.
I did. Yeah, that was good. And then I went for a little bike ride yesterday out in the countryside. It was nice and overcast until about 2 o'clock when it got very hot and I got very burnt. And now I'm really sore. Yeah. So that happened.
Price you pay.
Yeah.
Max.
It was a great day. Well, you're moving on already. There's more. Oh, go on, Max. Follow that.
I don't know. Just not really up to much.
Bought any new games?
That's my employee of the month, right?
Yeah. it's all a bit, it's difficult now, isn't it? Because it's kind of almost getting back to normal, but it's not quite. Like, I'm not working or anything.
Yeah, the gyms and clubs are closed, which is where I live, basically. Yeah. So. I'm usually pumping something somewhere. You know, it's the toilet plunger tonight. I've been up to bonkers stuff. I think this time last week, it was Wednesday or Thursday, it might be Thursday, got a message off my favourite YouTuber, Chris MD, and he said, I'm filming this video where four of us will get either £10 or £1,000 to spend on a takeaway. We'll do a little thing to work out who gets the £10, who gets the £1,000. And it was me, Chris MD, Will and E, and Rota Shorf. Yeah, great lads. Unfortunately, Chris lives in Jersey. Harry lives in Guernsey. So, you know, spending a lot of money on them on a takeaway is difficult because, yeah. Well, there's away. Probably one takeaway open, yeah. So, unfortunately, when we did it, I got the £10 one spent on me. That was by Will, which is worst case scenario. I also had to spend £1,000 on Harry, who was in Guernsey. Worst case scenario. But, you know, I just plodded on and I bought exactly £1,000. I was so proud from this hotel in Guernsey. And it was mainly alcohol, a lot of Baileys. and he was panicking. He was like, just spend 40 quid and then, you know, spend the rest on Amazon. I said, no, that's not the video. So I bought, the only food I bought him was a child's or a kid's sausage and chips. And I left a little note saying, can I have extra chips, please? Because my child's very hungry. And they did. They brought a whole new portion. So they were amazing. Yeah, if you're in Guernsey. And, that's a kip. It was just so much alcohol. But, it was a bit of fun. Anyway, the problem with that was I'm trying to get into a new place in an apartment. Well, to be a tenant there, not just breaking in. So they wanted to see my past 6 months bank statements, which is bad enough because I send money to Max with the reference Puss Puss. he insists on that. And then, I've spent £1,000 in Guernsey and received £1,000 from Jersey because Chris paid me back for it. So, you know, they were worried about money laundering and I've just gone to two offshore places.
Shit, I didn't think about it. Yeah. It was more the fact that you spent £1,000 on a takeaway.
I just see a note here. Your child's very hungry. You've got mentioned your kid. Now, shall we move on to this week's topic, which is fame?
Yeah.
I love fame.
Let's just start off with who's the most famous person you've met? Let's go to David Reese.
Probably Peter Kay.
Oh,
Peter Kay before, yeah. Well, I say met him, I saw him.
The TV.
he was opening, no, New Adelphi. He was opening, like, you know, where they cut the scissors on the ribbon. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was working on it and he was opening it. And
you were working on the building?
Yeah. I was just fitting in the last window. No. I was walking around, you know, where there were the plates and the champagne, walking around, anyone want anything, sort of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, walking around, giving all the food out. And I saw Peter Kay on the top, like, the second floor. So I was like, oh, can I go up there? And I was like, yeah, you need to go up there with an excuse, though. So go get some champagne. So I went upstairs to where the champagne is, walked past him, went, hello, really nervously, and walked off. He didn't reply. But I've told everyone that, well, not now, but I've told everyone I shook his hand and we spoke a bit, but we didn't.
So you're a liar, Dave.
Jesus. Yeah. I wouldn't have admitted that.
Yeah.
Why did you...
Sorry. Go on, sorry.
No, I was going to say...
What did you... No, joke.
I was going to say, why did... Fuck it out!
Never going to get it out.
You know what? Just fuck it, Dave. Go on.
Okay, so we've met Peter Kay. He was at our graduation.
Certainly was.
And he was the reason that I went on the Salford course because I thought he had something to do with it because he was in the paper. But he was just promoting it. Didn't see him for 3 years. Jason Manford came every year though. Fair play to him.
Yeah. Oh, see, I never saw him.
He's still trying to get his degree.
Me and him both.
But yeah, he was at our graduation. I thought, oh, that's great. He's turned up to, you know, give us all our certificates. He was just sat there for an honorary degree.
Yeah.
Fucking ego of the man. That's but he did smile at us all. Yeah. So he seemed quite nice, but he was probably just chuffed with his new hat. Tom Cooney, who's the most famous person you've met? Don't.
Well, in terms of just having seen someone. You okay, Max?
Joe, can we meet Max, please?
I go back to that painful memory of the Wembley Cup. warming up with Cafu was good.
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was a little bit nervous just because it was about, I don't know, it was about, you know, 30-yard passes, just with me, Cafu, and two others, and just, you know, kind of spraying it in. to each other, one touch and pass it. And,
you've never passed before, have you?
So. No. So this was a new experience for me with all these people watching, you know. And it was all they'd see of me that day. yeah, that was good. Didn't misplace a pass. And he came up afterwards and, you know, like, little handshake with us all. Yeah. So I actually did converse with him slightly. Probably that.
Max, you also met many, many a big name at that
event. Yeah.
Jack from Love Island.
I didn't know who he was at the time.
He knew you though, didn't he?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
He went, "Oh, what's the river like, mate?" And,
beat me over. lovely fella.
You
lovely
got in a
fella.
Taxi with him to the River Thames.
There's a lot of people there that I didn't know. Obviously, there's a lot of people that I did know, which was fun.
Failed Instagram comedians. Yeah.
A lot of YouTubers. Keemstar was there. That was interesting. Never watched his stuff, but he was, he was a recognisable face.
Did he have his beard?
He did actually ask you to watch his stuff when he went to the bar, though, didn't he? Excuse me, boy.
I kept trying to have a conversation with him, but Tom was on the other end of the bar going, fuming, mate, yeah? Fuming, couldn't get a fucking word in edgeways.
Is there anyone you've met sort of organically?
Michael Mapurgo came to my school once to give a talk.
Kintsugi's Kingdom?
Famous Warhorse author. Did you guys have a scary guy go to your school?
No. Yeah, they scary guy come to our school.
It was my ticket.
He wouldn't leave the boys' toilets. No,
we'll put up a picture of scary guy because you showed me him the other day.
Yeah, he's like...
it's a real thing. Right.
Yeah, he's a self-help guy from America, covered in tattoos and stuff, and he just goes from school to school saying...
It's a strange circuit, that, isn't it, people that come to tell inspirational things.
I had a giraffe come to my school and do that.
What, on it of his own accord?
Yeah, it was just come in, like, alright. Here he is.
You can sit with David, you've got the same reading level. We had Prince Charles and Camilla come to our school.
Really?
And as we found out, he's also a scary guy, yeah. So he just came along with Epstein, picked three girls out. I was there a bit pigtails fuming.
I'm so sorry
for what this has turned into.
I want an island holiday, Mr. Epstein. Please, sir, please.
The first celebrity I met was, I believe, Johnny Vegas. I say met. Because he's from St. Helens, I was driving through Thatto Heath. Saw him on the other side of the road.
Thatto Heath?
Thatto Heath, yeah. Not Thatto Heath.
Fat old Heath.
We're driving through him. He just won't go under the wheels. he was on the other side of the road.
He just said, "Oh, Johnny Vegas pumps."
I'm calling the character that comes out this week.
Oh, for God's
sake. You're the bastard, Stephen. You tried to do me in, didn't you?
Oh, hey, that's great.
That's fat old
the case.
Why, Stephen? Why?
Only me.
Brian Dobbins was driving the coach. Oh, Christ. And Peter's his own idea. I can't wait to be
fortunate. Didn't listen, did
I? That's what I'm saying. Anyone else met anyone famous?
Johnny Vegas was on the other side of the road.
That's it.
I jumped across the back seat. I went, "Johnny, hi!" But we were driving too quick and, you know, my sister mocked me for saying it for years just because of how embarrassing it was. But years later, I saw him in Media City because he was filming for Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer. So I saw him there and I spoke to him. I didn't ask for a photo because I'm cool like that. I was just saying, I'm from St. Helens too. He's like, "Oh, whereabouts?" I said, "Study on, Johnny." But it turns out...
That froze up.
It turns out he's two doors down from where I lived in St. Helens. A taxi driver was dropping me off and he went, "Oh, Johnny Vegas' agent lives there." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And I've been there for years. And I watched Gogglebox the other day. And Johnny Vegas was on it with the woman who's his agent. Right. They were just on it. I was like, Fucking hell. Oh.
Two doors down from
I've taken the parcels for her. Yeah. Small world. I'm just looking here. Dave, we met Howard from... Oh, Max did as well. Howard from Halifax.
Yeah, of course we did.
Superstar.
Couldn't make it that day.
Oh, no. Mate. Incredible. He's incredible. Nicest person you'll ever meet.
He was lovely.
For a fee.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, he was great fun. Very chatty. He was. He said, do you want to come to the pub? So we did. And we just hung out for a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was lovely. Dressed up in his suit. I was made up. Learned his lines. He highlighted his lines.
Professionalism.
He was hot on it.
Such a nice guy. And when he was talking about, what's Eddie Hearn? Eddie Hearn asked for his photo. I was like, that's mad.
That's mad.
He's just so... And that's another point. I saw Warwick Davis on holiday once. My mum, I was like, can I go ask for a photo? And she was like, nah, not allowed. And I told Howard from Halifax that story, and he said, oh, Warwick will probably love that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're joking. He's mates with Warwick Davis.
It's a small world.
It is. I'll tell you, Warwick Davis is funny.
Yeah.
He drives around on one of those little moped things.
Oh, a Segway, moped. Yeah.
Segway, that's it. Yeah. That's cool, man. I like that.
Tom, have I asked you who... Oh, yeah, I did Cafe. Who's the best meeting you've had with a famous person? So it doesn't have to be the biggest name, just the best experience.
Well, I'd say, Cafu is my best, because when I was at Tiger, loads of people have come in, but I've not really, spent time with them or...
like, some names.
Yeah, I was just sweeping up the entrance, and Justin Bieber walked past me with...
Oh, no way!
I think he'd just been on at the MEN, and so we weren't expecting him. It was, a Tuesday night, and, he came in, and then it was, all his... entourage. And they went upstairs, and very quickly they temporary barriers out and cordoned off the whole stage area, and he just hung out there.
And, still there now.
Took over the decks.
Wow.
Played his new song.
Oh, that's great.
But, yeah.
Were you just dancing with your eyes like, shaking your head?
No. And then he left a bottle of. £700 tequila there.
He's left it.
By accident.
Well, I mean...
It's nothing to him, though.
Nothing, is it? Yeah.
Nothing to JB. Dave, best experience you've had?
Done a play with Vanilla Rice in a...
What?
In Vanilla Pan Rice, was that? Was that
See, my mate always saw us. I told my mate I worked with Vanilla Rice, and he told everyone that I worked with the bear from Muller Rice, because he thought I was Vanilla Rice. But no,
that specific flavour of Muller Rice, vanilla.
He was like an old giraffe.
That was more appropriate.
He played Captain Hook in Peter Pan. Yeah, and I was Tootles, one of the Lost Boys. It was set mad. Form. Have you ever heard of Frank Spotsnitz?
No.
Right, he wrote the X-Files, right? And me and James Ormrod, we went to go listen to it because he was talking about how to write shows. And you know where you're not supposed to laugh because it's all being filmed. A load of people, a load of nerds are watching it, proper into it. And me and James, I was that bored already.
The cool kids, the jocks.
Exactly. We were sat at the back.
Drinking.
Punching people in front of us. We didn't give a shit.
Kissing.
Playing bogeys.
Pissing on the floor. I couldn't care.
More.
But we weren't laughing.
No. But we that's the thing, we were pissing ourselves at nothing. And where everyone was proper like, oh yeah, what you got to say? What you got to say? Oh, I just could not control, you know my laugh. When I proper go for it, I go like that. And I was doing that and my whole arm was shaking. I was going like this and there was people like on the side of us. He was vibrating.
Oh, no.
And we were laughing for about an hour. It was absolute hell.
God. Anything in particular, or did you just get the giggles?
Literally nothing. It was the fact that we shouldn't be laughing that made us laugh even more. And the people were just turning around going,
oh, that's horrible.
Honestly, through the soul of my eyes, I felt it. That made me.
my best meeting was Kevin Bridges, because it was a chance meeting. I'd just been at the Comedy Store, and then he popped in because he wanted to catch the show, but it just finished. So then we were sat around a table. I was with the head of the Comedy Store, and then Kevin Bridges and another comedian. I don't know, he's on Have I Got News For You sometimes.
So they were all just talking. I was just sat there,
Just gawping. Met him the first time, though. Not so much a chance meeting. He was doing he's talking to some guy from Manchester. I think I've said this before. Can't remember who it was. But he was at the Playhouse or the Dance House over in Manchester, Oxford Road. So he was performing there, just like a podcast sort of thing. And I was with three of my friends. And then when it finished, he mentioned that he was going to Oxford Road up the street to catch a train. So when it finished, we all thought, oh, there was another like chat after this. We just all went. So we ran out and just ran up the street to Oxford Road, just completely out of breath, caught him there. And, oh, Kevin, it was we're massive.
What are the chances?
We all do stand up. Asked him where he was going. He said Preston. He was like,
oh, soon.
He said, I'll probably see you there. But yeah, he's a funny guy. But I met some other comedians just through doing stand up, and met John Bishop. He just turned up. A little bit obnoxious of himself, you know. Mm. And I've been booked for that one. He turned up, and then I think he was doing new stuff, and someone had the phone out filming, so he took the phone off them, and then came backstage, and the MC got confused, and he thought he'd play a prank on this person's phone by just taking a load of pictures of the toilet. And John Bishop went, "Hang on, where's my phone gone?" And the MC had taken John Bishop's phone, just taking a load of pictures of skid marks in the toilet, gave it him back. Cheers, John.
I remember first speaking to you. And I was a bit starstruck when I first spoke to you.
Cheers.
I was on the phone. You was on there. You was with you and James. She was with James.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, can I come up and meet him? He was like, yeah. And then you got on the phone. I was like, oh. I stuttered a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't suppose you remember that. Do you remember that?
We're up in the Adelphi, weren't we?
That's it.
Yeah.
I guess you had the same thing with me and Max as well.
Max especially, yeah.
When you saw Max, you did that thing where you're trying to stifle your laughter, weren't you? You did that for about an hour. that was funny. Now, let's move on to Stephen Lies here.
Yep.
So, Stephen Lies. This week, we've changed it up. David Rees is no longer a detective following various murder cases that have gone wrong. he himself was the killer. Who would have thought it?
Yeah.
mind you, when you hang around with Joe McGrath. Tom Cooney is the detective this week.
Yeah.
So, Cooney. Tom, you don't have to think of any more truths. and you were close to getting one. He was close.
Yeah. One of these days.
So it is me, Max and Dave. I'll go first. I got drunk and tried to chat to Bugsy Malone.
I once got asked to leave a restaurant by Matthew Wright.
Wow.
Okay.
From the right stuff.
Smith?
I caused a bit of a stir with Arde Atebitain after leaving a bloody mess in the toilet.
Right. Wow. Tom.
Okay. Okay. Stephen, can I have a little more information, please?
You're
drunk.
Well, I got drunk.
Yeah.
This was at the KSI versus Logan Paul fight.
Okay.
Which, of course, Bugsy Malone attended.
Of course.
Due to his links with KSI. So I saw him at the fight, but I didn't speak to him. I was too shy and there was a boxing match going on. so it was at the after party, you know, drinks were drunk. I was drunk. So then I was drunk and I was outside getting some fresh air. And this place was by Oxford Road. It was, I forgot the name of it, Black Dog. But it was that
details
one.
Aren't important.
Good. And then I saw this big fancy car pull up in the alleyway.
Yeah.
And it was Bugsy Malone in like a Bentley or something. Really fancy car. But I was dressed in a suit, so I thought I could go and chat to him. Mm. I was also drunk, so I thought, why not? So I went over, put my hand on the car, leaning on it. I was like, I was just saying hi or whatever. And then I didn't say hi or whatever. Hi or whatever. God, I'm cool. I was like, I'm the unfunny twat who says 0161. Made it on the map. Right, yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, I've seen that. And he was like, what's it like in the party? I was like, it's not really your scene, mate. So I was just talking to him for a little bit. And waddled back over, you know, looking dead cool. But he knew who I was. That was the main thing.
Okay. I don't believe that one. Dave?
Yes, okay.
Matthew Wright asked you to leave a restaurant.
Well, I was
at... theirs might be worse, right?
I was in Leicester Square in London, and I was in a Frankie and Benny's with some of my friends from back in Kent. And I was doing my thing, you know, my laugh sort of thing. And apparently he couldn't concentrate on eating, because I didn't know you had to concentrate on eating food anyway. But he couldn't concentrate whilst I was laughing. And he was like, excuse me, can you keep it down? And again, you know where you're not meant to laugh, it just makes you laugh even more. I was just pissing myself and I was proper laughing. But yeah. And I was staring at him whilst laughing. So I was like, get the message, you prick. And he'd come over again and then asked me to leave.
Did you leave?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I made a point of sitting there and laughed even more. I was like, I don't care.
Audacity?
Your show's crap, so I don't care what you think. And you didn't even win Armour Slev. So you do look a bit like him, Tom, actually, funny enough. Yeah.
You could have a show called The Wrong Stuff and you just get everything wrong.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Copyright that.
So, Max.
Hello.
I'm already inclined to believe yours.
First question. What was that name again?
And you could repeat it because I've forgotten it.
It's Ade Adipitan. Adipitan.
Who's that?
So,
who is it, Max?
I don't know if you remember, you know, cast your mind back a couple of years ago. There was a BBC ident of, I guess, a disabled basketball group. He was doing something over at the Media City. Came over for a lovely pint. At this time, I was using the disabled toilet because I just cut myself on some glass. The issue with the disabled toilet is also the staff toilet. So I'm in there sorting out a cut because I used to be the glass collector. Worked my way up to cellar manager.
I was the arse collector, am I right?
Yep. Went to the end of the story. So I had to clean this cut up, put a bandage on it, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of blood. That's why I was in there. I left.
Your cut? You're in there on your own?
Yeah. It was like a cut down the side of my hand. And as I left, he was waiting outside and he had been waiting for like the 5 minutes I was in there. So obviously he's fuming. I apologise. He goes in there. Turns out I didn't flush the toilet, so there's blood all over the bowl.
Oh,
so obviously he thinks I've just gone in there and who knows what.
Who knows what he...
Yeah, so he asked to speak to the manager and see if I was all right.
Well, it's a nice concern.
Yeah.
Lovely fella.
At least he looked up.
Fair enough. Well, with yours... even under the influence, I just don't think you'd approach a black car in an alleyway.
It wasn't a black car, it was a Bentley.
It was a Bentley, and I don't think you'd be going into an alleyway to approach a car.
I was there anyway.
I might be wrong, obviously that's how this game works, but I'm going to say yours is a lie. Dave, I'm going to say yours is a lie too, just because whilst I imagine it might be off-putting, he'd come over to you. Max... I know you use that disabled toilet.
I built it for him.
I'm going to say yours is true.
Okay, well, you're wrong.
Right, okay. So I'm guessing it's Stephen then.
Yeah, boy! Take your pants off.
Go on, you gotta do it. I'll do it.
There you go. Your first case.
Well done.
I got away with it. Boy, am I running.
Did you exaggerate any elements of it, or was it? No, really.
Yeah.
Shit. I've never been to a Frankie and Benny's, so that was the lie about that.
You know what's
how drunk were you?
Waved. Enough so that I see, you know, a celebrity go over to them and go, just think I can chat to them.
Yeah, because obviously sober Stephen wouldn't have done that.
Nope.
Even tipsy Stephen wouldn't have done that.
Nope.
So that's where, you know,
Drink of the club. It's a fresh air. As the staff told me to do. cheers, Bugsy. If you're ever about, you know, want a game of ping pong, just let me know.
I just want to say I always flush.
Yeah.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm well known for.
Sounds like a guilty conscience there. We kind of moved on, haven't we?
I had to let it be known.
Mac just wasn't blood, it was just a hot steaming shit.
It wasn't even in the toilet.
I missed. Just on the ramp into the building. You have to wheel through that, mate. Oh. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's just on the baby changing table.
It's a lie. I wasn't employed there. I was just collecting boxes for my house. Max, I remember you telling me a story about a woman who came into your bar who had an issue with the Coronation Street set.
Yeah, very strange story. Very strange. So it was a Monday morning, I think. It was dead in the whole place. And is it? Did you say it was Jack P. Shepherd?
Yeah.
Yeah. So David. He will. He plays David in Coronation Street. He frequented the place quite a bit, but he would come in every now and then and watch Liverpool or some other team on the screen.
Sports team.
Yeah, a generic sports team. and this woman found out that he would go there. So she travelled up from, I think, somewhere near Cornwall and spent her life savings to stay at the Premier Inn that was near Media City so she could follow Jack P. Shepherd. She came into the bar. And he was like, she's been at the set causing havoc. You need to get her out of here because this whole thing's crazy. So we asked her.
Tram crash.
So the first time we asked her to leave. And then on the Monday morning, it was dead and she came in. And she starts screaming at me, asking for the manager. So I get the manager and it turns out that this woman's been going to the Coronation Street set and sneaking onto the set, trying to get pictures with everyone whilst they're doing stuff like filming and stuff. When everyone leaves at the end of the day, she would jump in front of the cars. So they had to stop and get her out of the way.
Oh, it sounds like fat old Heath. No, we've got to keep it in.
We had it coming.
So yeah, she was talking to me like afterwards because I didn't want to tell her to leave because, you know, we needed the business. So obviously I'm talking to her and some of the stuff.
Obviously, a woman gravitates to me.
Who's that woman Max is talking to? Oh, boy, she's mental. Oh, okay.
Don't worry, she's mental.
I was even on a friend's couch at the time. I think, you know, promises of a Premier Inn was perfect for me. Some of the stuff she was doing. She got into a massive Twitter fight with somebody from Coronation Street. She was crying because they had blocked her on it. There's a lot of crazy stalkers out there.
Yeah.
Have you got any?
Max, because of your actions, we were stalked for a little bit by a certain individual.
Yeah.
You gave him promises of, you know, shouting out the channel.
God knows what else.
Yeah. We only got half the story.
I thought at the time, because the story is I was in Tesco, somebody was following me around the store and kept, like, sort of doing that.
Is it James Ormrod?
You're going to pay for that flam.
I had pockets full of Vimto, mate. I was. he kept doing that thing where, like, he pretends to keep bumping into you, and then at the end, he's like, "Oh, I know you from Stephen Tries." Oh, very relatable story.
Yeah, we've all been there.
And at the end, I was waiting for a taxi, and he sort of runs over to me, and he's like, oh, can you like my channel, shout me out, put a comment on my page. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Get in my taxi, drive off, forget about it. Well, forget the name. And then,
big mistake.
Yeah. I didn't think it would even do that. I didn't think he would realise, if even if I had.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, that fateful day where Tom McManus's laptop was stolen.
Yeah. Well, to give some context, he made a video about me, but it was actually about Max, because Max was the one who
completely lied to him,
betrayed his trust. But he used my name to get his video out there. Crafty.
Fuming about that.
He graffitied on a wall, fuck Stephen Tries or something like that. But we did it as well, but that was it's gone off.
In chalk.
Yeah. No, we did it in chalk.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's the responsible thing to do. Yeah.
But then we were recording the video and I spotted him. And I was like, oh, God. And then he just seemed to be happy where he was.
He was in the middle of a park.
He had a big camera around his neck, so I didn't think he was a threat. Then he took Tom McManus's laptop and ran off. So we all chased. And then he stopped. And he was like, oh, it's just a joke. But Tom McManus was fuming because he didn't know this weird guy. None of us really did. Mm. He was just doing it for a video where he pranks us. Fair play. he was a very strange boy.
I did shout that video out though.
Fair play. Yeah.
I would. You might murder you next.
In terms of strange people, I remember there was it was a few years ago. We were at a nightclub. And I was trying to flush the toilet as usual.
Our day's outside.
This guy came up to me and he was like, oh, you're Stephen Tries, aren't you? Like, yeah. And this was quite early on in the night. And he was just talking to me, like, he subscribed. I was like, okay, yeah. And then it got to about like 3-4 minutes and then I was like, I'm going to go back to these people now. And I think they came over and said, he's just out with us. But he just kept coming up to me. Every sort of 10 minutes, he'd come up to me and he'd just be in my ear talking about this. I was like, okay, mate, can you leave me alone now? I'm just out with these. And he just wouldn't stop. And then Max came and then I went to Max because he came over to Max, I think, I was talking to him. Then when Max came to me, I said, can you just get rid of him, please? Because he just won't pay attention to me. And then Max said something. God knows what. He just left me for the whole night. It was amazing. He was in tears.
What did you say?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I remember the situation, but I don't remember saying something.
It was the night was cherry or something, or juicy.
Yeah, no, I remember the place, yeah.
Yeah, but it was really good.
What could I say? Thank you.
Mad. What's the weirdest place that you've been recognised?
Ooh, Amsterdam, I think. I said, they went, you're Stephen Tries. I said, hey, let's talk, you motherfucker. No, it was just a guy. I think he wasn't from England, but he recognised me there. And I said, please don't tell anyone about this.
It's funny you should say that. James got noticed in Amsterdam, but I was with him and I was like, you may recognise me too. Give me a head round. Would you like a photo with me? No, they wanted one with James. But
okay, I got recognised Amsterdam as well.
Yeah, but they recognised James.
I said Danish people.
It was just a pimp saying, you owe us money.
He's like, it's 10 in one night. You know that's expensive.
I don't care if it's 30 seconds. You're still paying for the full hour.
Is James the prostitute in this situation?
Is he, Eck?
You owe us half of what you made last night, James.
Dave, you got. When was the first time you got recognised?
I was in Edinburgh with a load of people, and he turned to me, went, "Do I know you?" Because he thought I was like one of his mates in wherever he was from. I was like, "No, you may recognise me from a YouTube video." And he was like, "Oh yeah, of course I do. You're Stephen Tries, educating Eaton." He was like, "Yeah, you're the plumber." I was like, no, close. I got a photo, and honest to God, I was like, so, as soon as they left, I was so smug. I should never be famous because I'll just be an absolute arsehole.
I remember the first time Ryan got asked for a picture. I was with him at the time. I think we can put it up now.
Yeah.
Because Ryan panicked, I think. I was just smiling.
he panicked more than once.
Yeah, Ryan posed in character, it seems, and was just sticking his middle fingers up like that at the camera, not smiling. It was amazing.
Remember the worst one I've had?
Oh, go on.
So I had to go to the card factory to pick up streamers or something. I can't remember what the video was. It was for a bow for a car for a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was there picking up like cards and stuff, checking out what Card Factory's got to offer. And some guy comes up to me and he's like, "Oh, you're from Stephen Troy's, can I have a picture?" So I'm like, "Yeah, sure, of course." So, you know, we huddle in, I'm doing a thumbs up, whatever. And I didn't realise, but he's filming it. Oh. And then when I'm like, "Are you filming?" He went, "Down with Israel," and then ran off.
Oh,
very strange. If there's any videos out there with me with my thumbs up where somebody screams "Down with Israel," I just want to apologise. I don't know anything about that situation.
I approve this message.
I'm Max Smith.
there's just big fucking posters of Max in Gaza inside of buildings.
That's the issue. We're not famous, but we're recognised.
Yeah.
It can be quite awkward sometimes because obviously fans can be quite young. So I was on the tram and there was a load of kids got on with their parents.
Yeah.
So obviously it's like a group of parents that knew each other, and the parents were sat together in conversation, and then the kids were sat and they kind of obviously recognised me, and they were like pointing at me, and they're talking amongst themselves. The parents hadn't noticed. And then when I got off the tram, like, they just noticed that all their kids are like waving at me and stuff. they're like 7, 8 or something. I don't know. They're really young. And the parents are like looking at each other and looking at me.
I wish I could stay on for another 3 stops. But
you have a similar experience, Max, when you were walking through Salford Precinct with a Heron Foods bag, looking a bit dishevelled.
What's this one? I don't remember this.
And you said some kid came up to asking to get a picture with you, and his dad just was like, "Who the fuck is that?"
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of them. Especially at work, you get drunk parents coming up to you. It's like, "I haven't got a fucking clue who you are, but my son wants a picture now." It's like, "All right, yeah, give me a minute, but you know, I'm a bit busy at the moment."
We were in Lime Bar one time, me and Max working the same shift, and someone came to the bar, like, thought they recognised Max, but didn't say anything. They thought he looked like Max from Stephen Tries. And then didn't say anything to Max when he served them. And then came over to me and like, "He looks like Max from Stephen Tries." I said, "Oh, it is, yeah." I said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, you are the guys. Here's a tenner." Max was furious.
Oh, well, I sort of beat him up.
Never forget me now.
No, the worst interactions are always when, you know, people are like, just so cocky with it.
Yeah.
And it's like they recognise you, they want a picture, but they're just being rude. And if you're like that with me, I just don't have any time for you.
Some people just lack self-awareness. It's like, it's all right to come up, but the conversation like will flow for a second and it's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
And then they just don't leave. It's kind of, okay.
The problem I always have is they'll say, "Oh, it's Stephen Tries." And I'm just like, yeah. Because I'm not going to be like, "Yes, it's me." Like, I'm not going to be doing it. Just because I don't want to make myself seem like, oh, it's me, yeah. Because they might be like, because it happened in Tesco the other day. Some lad was with a group, like, and he went, "Oh, it's Stephen Tries," and his mates were looking confused. So I'm not going to be like, "It's me." I was just like, yeah, you're right. And then I just kept on walking. Because, you know, I didn't want to be like, Yeah, famous YouTuber. Because his mates were just looking at me like, "Who's that twat?" And rightly so. Yeah. I'm terrible with meeting people.
So I walk around with a banner saying, "That's me from Stephen Tries."
But now I said all lives matter.
Yeah.
should we move on to a lovely segment called Dave Raves? Following on from last week, we have Crocodile versus Alligator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just in case you haven't seen it, Dave said, "What's the difference between a crocodile and an alligator?" None of us knew. Well, not to this degree. First of all, the snout shape, Dave. An alligator, alligators have wider U-shaped snouts,
while crocodile front ends are more pointed and V-shaped. There you go.
Right.
The home base. Crocodiles tend to live in saltwater habitats, while alligators hang out in freshwater marshes and lakes. So,
what's bigger? Does it say which one's bigger?
Crocodiles tend to grow bigger, don't they?
Crocodiles are bigger. Yeah. Right, fair enough, fair enough.
Can we have the theme tune? Let's have Dave Raves.
Dave Raves. Gotta get those Dave Raves. On my mind for this week, how do you pronounce Adidas or Adidas for some people? Which way?
It's one of the other, isn't it?
Well, I always said Adidas, and then I got told that's the American way of saying it, and the English way to say it is Adidas.
Adidas.
I think it is Adidas because it was a combination of two people's names that met, and that is the, as it was intended, Adidas.
Although it's ADI, the name, is pronounced a D. So.
Yeah. Adi. Oh, of course, and they were also Nazis, Adidas, when they first come about. It's a bit of a... I might have got that wrong, but I don't think I have. But anyway,
well,
next question.
Everything, don't worry.
Another question that's playing on my mind is, how did accents come about?
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why have I got such... I've got this accent, and... You're about 200 miles away from where I live, and you've got such a different accent compared to me. Does that make sense?
I don't know how like, areas started to talk in a certain manner.
Like Texas, strange. Like Birmingham. Like whoever thought that's a good accent, let's stick with this accent and let's breed people to talk like this. Like or Texas. Like we went over to America, we colonized it, whatever we did, and then like. They all had British accents, so then how did they get American accents, and how the fuck did Texas come a thing? Like, it's just been playing on my mind.
It's crazy how close Liverpool and Manchester are.
Yeah.
And yet their accents. Exactly.
And Wigan, that's dead close. It's different.
Aussie accents are similar to Cockney accents.
Yeah, well, they are, yeah.
Because obviously they sent a lot of people over there back in the day. And I think Australia doesn't have accents. It's just one. I don't know if I'm wrong. I've heard that from somewhere. Correct me if I'm wrong. There are no regional accents in Australia. It's just an Aussie accent.
See, in America, I'm not a Cockney myself. I'm from Kent, but I got confused as an Aussie in America. So,
Dave, what's your accent then? If you're not, a Cockney?
It's called Kentish, but it's a blend. It's a blend of Cockney and like. Essex, I suppose. I have no idea what it is. I don't know. But yeah, we sound more to you, like down south, Kent, Essex, and London. You can
just generalise it.
Yeah, exactly. But exactly. But,
Dave,
yeah.
if you could have any accent, what would you go for?
Oh, I don't know. Irish, I reckon. I like the Irish.
Irish is
accent.
Good.
It
tends to be.
Yeah.
Head. I just like to say that. On repeat.
You can do that anyway, Dave.
You can, yeah.
Head.
Max, can you do an Irish accent?
Head. Closey.
So if anyone from Birmingham or Ireland has been listening, we apologise.
And the last thought of the day is, how did words come about?
Well, Shaka Despair came up with the phone.
A shocker, does me.
Oh, did he?
No more thoughts to bear for Dave.
I don't know. Words? Well, hieroglyphics, was that something?
Because what I thinking was, like, if someone, like, come up with a word and they say, this word means this, but if they've only just come up with word, how did that word then have a meaning, if that makes sense?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess you're going back to when people first started to converse using more than just...
words, yeah. Words.
Like, why is sounds. It... And obviously we have a tongue, which makes it easier for us to make sounds, so them sounds over time become more...
True.
Dave, what's your favourite word?
Mine, onomatopoeia. Oh, I love that word.
That's a really good word.
I don't know what it means, but it just flows off the mouth nicely, I think.
Tell you what, it's words like pow and bang, like in comics when you see those, it's words that are in noise. My favourite word is baba ganoush at the moment.
I made it up last week.
Yeah. That's probably where I got it.
Or plump. Plum.
Yeah.
Why'd you look at me when you said that? Fucking fuming me.
Well, thank you very much to Dave Raves there.
That's really right, good. Dave's Raves.
You always get me thinking, Dave. Now it's time for a piping hot slice of IMAX. Max, how do you approach IMAX this week?
Well, in a way, it's the same way I approach it every week, which is a steadfast mind, eager and excited to review the freshest, newest movies. Now, this week,
review of Bug's Life last week.
So, this week, I've decided, it's great reviewing movies every week, sure, but where's the applause? Where's the fans? And it reminded me of a time that I was interviewed because of my great reviews. I thought I'd sort of grab the audio from that and share it with the world.
A bit egotistical.
Yeah.
Should we listen to it now?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Three, two, one.
Welcome to the IMAX experience. Enjoy the show.
Terry Wogan takes us back to the 1980s, now on BBC Two, remembering some of the best interviews in a new series of Oscar winners.
He's ready. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Max!
Hello there. I just want to say what a pleasure it is to see you, Sir Terry Wogan, star of the hit made-for-TV movie Terry in Pantoland, made in 1988.
Oh, you arrived here safely, Max.
Well, of course. You don't watch as many movies or moving pictures as me and not pick up a thing or two about moving.
Do you think that worked?
Well, you don't watch as many comedies as me and not pick up.
Please.
Yep.
Do you enjoy doing comedy parts?
Well, I do help my friend Stephen. I help him do his sketches from time to time, but my main hobby is reviewing movies.
You tend to play the heavier lot.
Sure. Sorry, I thought I was here to talk about IMAX. Can we do that, please?
This is it, then. This is the day I've been dreading.
Wait, you're not a fan of IMAX.
No, I wouldn't say that.
But I thought you of all people would be a fan.
Oh, why, do I appear slow?
What? No! How dare you disrespect my adoring fans? My reviews have helped bring new understanding to some of the hottest movies each week.
So how do you do that?
Look, listen to this clip from the other week. IMAX is in shatters. So, how do you feel about that?
Too old for this rubbish.
Sorry?
That's not good, is it?
Wow. I bare my soul to the public reviewing these movies, allowing strangers to delve into my mind and observe and revel in my creative juices. I risk my life going to the cinema during a global pandemic, risking death and disease just to appease the hungry masses, desperate for movie-related knowledge.
Do you do it for the art or for the money?
Neither, Terry. I do it for the fans.
Thank you, Max.
No worries. Oh, look, it's your next guest. Who could it be?
Hey, I'm Whoopi Goldberg.
No!
Knew she was going to appear somewhere.
Done.
Well done, mate.
Thank you to Sir Terry, who, as we know, thanks to Tom Mooney, has the record for the world's longest golf putt.
Yeah. Well, you talk about how like you're on the pulse and stuff and always do new, fresh kind of things, and you just played us a clip from the 80s. It seems lazy.
Well, no, a lot of work went into that. It's not easy being interviewed by
30 years ago. All right.
Was Sir Terry with Pudsey?
Not at the time, no. I refused to do anything for Children in Need at the time.
Unless it's Children in Need of great movie reviews.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Bug's Life, you can always check out a Bug's Life we reviewed that last week. Fresh new movie.
Well, Max, thank you very much for giving us that.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed
very
it.
Good, very good.
Max, is there somebody knocking at your door?
There shouldn't be. I thought I was alone in the house. Let me go have a look.
That's weird.
I could hear it and he couldn't.
Yeah.
With these big ears, I could pick up things that he can't.
Wow-wee! Woo!
This is unsustainable.
Hello. Oh, hello. My God. This is amazing. This is so incredible. This is so cool. This is bloody Stephen Tries, isn't it? From Stephen Tries Industries.
And me.
And Dave. Dave. Hello, Dave.
Oh, stop. Hello, mate.
Is that Lily Cooney? I was waving on you in a tram a few months ago. And my parents joined. Do you remember me?
Unfortunately.
He's speaking, sorry.
My name's Max Smith. I'm your biggest fan.
Your name's Max Smith.
Yeah. It used to be KSI, but I changed it by default to be my favourite member of the SDI's group.
Wow. What are you doing in Max's house?
What haven't I been doing? I'm one of Max's biggest fans, you see. And a few months ago, I tracked him down and broke into his home, but I can't leave because of the quarantine and I don't want to get sick. I'm really helping.
Funny, Max hasn't mentioned you.
Yeah.
He doesn't know I'm here. I've been living in his cupboard for the whole couple of months. He doesn't go in his cupboards.
You must have seen some sights.
I can't see nothing because I've been locked in the cupboard. But I sneak out every night and I watch him sleep and I watch him do his dreams and stuff.
Do you eat?
Do I? I've been eating nothing but custard creams and curry.
He's got a lot of chicken. Give me safe.
Yes, what I'm going to do. Celery.
Max Smith, how old are you?
I'm a 37-year-old man. I'm just a 37-year young boy.
And you're really obsessed with YouTubers, are you?
I love them. They're my life. I've been watching YouTube since it started. I can't remember, wow, though. I never thought I'd be able to speak to Looney Cooney in my life. This is amazing.
Yeah. Max, what's your favourite part of the podcast then, is it?
Probably all the talking and pretending that you're talking to me.
Are you okay, Max?
My favourite part is IMAX because of the really cool reviews of Fresh New Movies.
You're laughing as you're saying that.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking of all the cool things that I said. I really like Looney Cooney too. He's my favourite. I really
it's
like
it's
that.
It's called Tom Looney.
Yeah.
Tom Looney, yeah.
You're right.
Have you got any favourite bits?
Yeah.
Tom Looney over the months?
All of them. Probably my favourite one was probably last week's one when you didn't just do a short one, you did a really long one, and it was all about
and you heard that from the cupboard at Max's, did you? You've been locked in there for a while, haven't you?
I'm very sick, but no, I've got a telephone. I've got a telephone, so I call my mum and she plays it down the phone to me. Can I just ask a question for Tom Looney, please?
Yeah, sure.
Hello, Tom Looney. I'm your biggest fan.
Hello, Max.
Do you remember your time on Five Live? Five Live, the radio show. I've been following your career very closely.
Wonderful.
You talk about sports and kicking the football and stuff.
Yeah. Go on.
Who's your favourite footballer?
Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, that's a fucking loony. Hi.
Bye, Max.
Is he gone?
I can stay if you want.
Yeah, you can stay. We're going to move on to your favourite segment, Tom Looney, now.
Oh, yippee! Right. Yes, I love this.
Kind of unsettling.
It's fine. Oh, yeah, you're not going to harm anyone, are you?
No, only myself. Because of how happy I am with Tom Looney.
Yeah.
So this week, I guess kind of slightly linked to what we were talking about before, some of the craziest celebrity memorabilia. Things that are crazed super fans.
This is amazing. I've got a bone of full erection.
What?
I'm going to have to ask him to leave.
Sorry, Max. You're going to have to go.
Sorry, man.
Back to your cupboard, Max.
I'm sure there's a bag of custard creams there, or maybe some chicory and chives.
That's Jalfrazy.
It's going to be a chicken tikka with, with his rules. Or a korma spelt wrong.
Yeah, so just some of the crazy things that people have bought and for some crazy prices.
Should we guess the price?
You can do. Well, do you know what? I guess the important thing to remember, while some of these prices might not seem huge, they are huge considering the actual item, considering it could be something that, you know, there's no proof that actually even belonged to that person.
And they also, they are huge considering there's people living in poverty.
Exactly, exactly. So, so Queen Elizabeth was on a plane many years ago, and she left, I don't know how she managed to leave some of her underwear, but she did, Baroness Joseph de Bisque de Brogny.
And Mr. Rees bought it.
Sounds Hungarian. he added it to his own private stash. And when he died, it was put on auction. And guess how much they sold for?
I'm going to say about five million.
You've gone a little high there, Dave. John, I'm going to stop the guessing game. It was £18,000 on eBay. But that's just for some underwear.
The Queen's, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I bet there's more expensive underwear for celebrities. Yeah.
This is a weird one. John Lennon. His housekeeper, her daughter, was a big fan of the Beatles. So when he lost his tooth, he gave it to his housekeeper to give to her as a gift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had a tooth out. That tooth later sold on auction for £32,000 in 2011.
Imagine.
How much do you reckon
that bullet is? I've seen the tooth. It's horrible. So, yeah. There's that.
If they got that bullet out, how much do you reckon that would go for? The thing that killed him?
I guess that would... I'd like to think that would be a little more...
Yeah, definitely,
Yeah.
Millions, I'd say.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. But be more impressive than this. let's have a look. What else have we got? Someone saw Brad and Angelina walking in LA and went up kind of where they'd been stood and just took a sample of air and sold that on eBay.
Moron buys that.
With the line, be the first to win this jar of celebrity air, which may contain air molecules that came in direct contact with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. $530.
Jesus.
Like, I know it's not a lot, but...
That is a lot.
What are you going to do with that? Yeah. It is a lot,
empty container full of air.
More money than sense. Mm. Yeah.
This one's quite bad. Justin Timberlake was on a radio show, and he had some French toast for breakfast that he didn't finish. And that unfinished French toast was put on auction and sold for $3,154 to a super fan, an NSYNC super fan, Kathy Summers. Her plan was to freeze dry it, seal it, and display it on her dresser.
Wow.
She should have done like a taxidermy. You know what they do with animals?
What, and stuff the
sandwich?
Is that what they do? I thought they just freeze it.
You're mistaken, Dave.
All right. Where do they stuff it then?
Save that for Dave Raves.
That's next week.
Humans have been taxidermied, I believe.
Mad.
Creepy though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Taxidermy. Very creepy.
You go into, have you been in a pub where there's loads of like birds and
game
animals?
The birds are very game, mate.
Imagine this being your favourite segment.
I went on this one. Justin Bieber's hair, a lock of his hair.
Just from Tiger by any chance.
$40,668.
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy, isn't it? Obviously, Max, you kind of, you trumped all that with that crazy lady from the Coronation earlier, but...
Yeah, strange.
Crazy things.
That's
Tom Looney.
Thank you, Tom.
Join us next week. Just join us next week.
Dave, what were you going to say?
What's a bit of, like, summing off a celebrity that you would buy? If that makes sense. For example, mine would be Lee Evans' towel that he wipes his sweat on. I'd happily buy that.
Why do you want that?
Just say that Lee Evans, I'd just love to be covered in Lee Evans' sweat, to be honest.
The only thing I'd want is either like a footballer's shirt or something that actually looks nice when it's up there. Or John Lennon's glasses would be cool. Now it's time for Put It to the Max. Just curing people's lives.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, you ready, Max?
Born ready.
And Dave. I want some Dave.
Yeah.
You all right, Max?
Yep.
Too informal for me.
With this. In my class at college, my tutor shows obvious signs of favouritism towards me and was a massive knobhead towards all the other students, including my man, Dem. Over the last few months, man was mean Man was meant to email everyone periodically to catch up on our work, but he hasn't done that. Instead, he's emailed me exclusively with seemingly random small talk, asking me about how my day has been and other shite I don't care about. He hasn't made an effort to contact any other student in my class. I don't know what to do about this geezer. Help me, Max, please.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a bit creepy, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably speak to someone.
Yeah, this teacher, if it is true, sounds like he's got ulterior motives, which of course is a concern. Maybe get other students to, you know, say, excuse me, sir, you haven't contacted us about what's going on. Yeah. If he's looking for small talk as well, a bit strange.
I guess you've got to, you know, you might be headstrong enough to say, you know, that's weird, I'm going to stay away from that. But if something weird is going on,
you could try it with other pupils.
He could. So exactly. I think you have a responsibility. This is someone potentially, yeah, it might be nothing, but it sounds like, I don't know.
Very
as
odd.
You would say, man be moving mad. And, yeah. man can't get away with that for too long without man getting slapped up. If you did.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, maybe tell someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
So this one, this is from Paul and Hugh. I saw Max
is
last week.
Is Hugh a person? I'm so sorry.
It's just near the, it's just off Oxford Road.
Paul and Hume, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I saw Max last week bathing rather oddly in Manchester City Centre and was wondering if he'd care to explain his behaviour for me. I was sitting down on Piccadilly Gardens enjoying a bevy in the sun when I noticed a large bearded man in a long black coat chasing pigeons around the garden and laughing rather hysterically to himself. We'd chase them away, retreating to his hiding place behind a wall, wait for the birds to return and chase them again. This continued for the best part of an hour. Until his attention was caught by a group of youths that had conversed around the fountains. After watching them intently for a few minutes, he left the area. He returned some minutes later with a crate of beers and walked over to the young boys and girls. He tried to hand out some of the beers, but the kids weren't interested. Eventually, one of the boys reluctantly accepted a beer and cracked it open. Max then sat down amongst the group, drank the other 23 beers in the space of around 20 minutes before falling asleep. When I left the gardens later in the evening, Max was still in the same spot, now surrounded by the returning pigeons who'd begun feeding on a packet of biscuits that had rolled out of his inside pocket. Is everything okay, Max? Why did you do all of those things? And that's from Paul.
Average Thursday, isn't it?
The horrible thing is that in that story, there's two things which... Yeah. I have a big black coat, and yeah. I did buy a packet of biscuits to enjoy on the walk home. And weirdly enough, I did also black out during that time period. I mean, you know, it's obviously false. Go on.
Really?
Is it?
I mean, it seems like they've got certain things spot on.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah. They do have a couple of weird things spot on.
Paul, go on, Stephen. If you want to get in contact with us again next week and let us know some more.
Perhaps
details.
Maybe you have a video or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, don't do that because he's. Oh,
I'm
Jesus.
Not going to take sides, but Max, that's out of order, mate.
Yeah, you should have done that, Max.
Don't buy kids alcohol, especially when they don't even ask. It's bad enough when they ask, but... Just
yeah, that comes across really weird.
On the off chance.
Yeah.
Well, to Paul, until next week, I'm very sorry for what may have happened.
Hey, you know
lockdown's
what?
Affecting everyone in different ways, isn't it?
I am who I am.
I think someone's just looking for our approval here. Listening for a couple of episodes, what started in the background, and started to wonder, this 36-year-old married father of two from the United States... Good job, respected in the community. For the most part, I do normal American things. I know I'm not the normal member of the target audience, but I still enjoy the podcast. I was interested how you feel that a person like me listens. Are you delighted that someone outside of the target audience has gravitated towards your content? Or do you think it's a bit weird?
I love it.
Yeah?
You know,
yeah, fair play to you.
We're appealing to all kinds of people. You know, a 36-year-old in America, we'll take that.
Yeah.
Let's have a pensioner from Chile next week. You know, we want to broaden our horizons. Please don't feel like you're sort of like an older guy coming into a young group. Imagine Max Smith in Piccadilly Gardens, if you will. You're not imposing yourself on us. You know, we're just happy to have you.
That's all we can get.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's pretty cool that, yeah?
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Was from Ryan Stolkamp. I'm assuming he wanted to shout.
Thanks,
out.
Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice one, Ryan.
Bad respect, Ryan.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I've been a fan for some time now, and I've always really enjoyed your work. As a gay fan, I've noticed the gay camp character trope numerous times. Whilst not offended, at 23, I've seen a coked-up me do those hand movements plenty of times in the festival toilets. I'd love to know what you four think of the Black Lives Matter movement, LGBTQ plus rights being revoked, and feminism. You four are great, and whilst your fan base might be heavily straight dominated, we here are watching too and laughing as well. I know it's a bit of an intense topic, but it would just be a nice change to see four straight boys. I know Cam is rumoured to be gay. I never like to believe gossip.
Let's start off with LGBTQ plus. I'm sure we have been guilty, especially myself, of maybe making jokes that could be offensive.
Yeah.
But I don't have any issues with homosexuals.
Yeah. No.
I've got, you know, friends that are homosexual. Mm. I appreciate them just as much as a heterosexual. Probably more.
Probably more.
But no, there's...
I guess, yeah, sometimes it's very easy to just, you know, there's no... When there is no malice in what you're doing, and the idea of inequality is so ridiculous to, I don't know, us and people of our age, you'd like to think. You don't need to... Go on, Matt, you want to come in on this
one? Yeah, sure. Just do what you want. I don't care. You know, live your life however you see fit.
Yeah.
Well, what did they mean, hand movements? Did they mean on the podcast?
Oh, I think they're talking about Jake's.
Big Jake is just... So that came from... I wanted the visual of me getting a skateboarder coach to be trumped by this character, Big Jake, who is, you know, so out there and the most extreme example of, you know, a gay man. So I did that, and it was just that I didn't clock for so long.
I think it does play on a stereotype, which isn't obviously meant to offend at all. But he just, like you say, he is so ridiculously out there, and it's his use of these ridiculous euphemisms that you keep mistaking for something else.
Yeah.
And he's just become a recurring character in that way.
But because he did go down well with the audience. sorry, Adam. It was just that. I mean, we don't have the stereotype of, you know, white men being boring, but
and we touched on it in the podcast the other week after all the protests and stuff. You know, fully behind the everything that's going on right now, the Black Lives Matter in America. And obviously, I think you referred to the LGBTQ rights they've been in the news recently in America, the decision Trump has made.
Well, Trump's a fucking idiot.
Exactly.
It's weird how, like, they've only just recently been allowed to be married, like gay people. Why does it upset you that one person is like a man is happier being with a man? Why is that?
Probably insecurity.
What is so wrong with that? I'd never understood it. All because it's in a Bible that's full of shit anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's the minority now, and it is the minority because times are changing. If it wasn't, there'd be much more opposition to it. So I guess obviously remember where we've been, but, you know, look forward in that things seem to be progressing in the right direction, even though I know sometimes it comes at a cost. We're in a progressive time, and, you know, in 20 years, it'll be even more so. So
exactly.
Most of the bigots will be dead by then, so.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
My final question for you all. If you could only have one celebrity round for dinner, who would it be? So just one.
Lee Evans.
Lee Evans,
straight away. Yeah.
Do you think he'd be sort of his on-stage persona, or do you reckon he'd be a lot...
I don't know. I reckon he's... when you see him on chat shows, he's quite happy all the time. Yeah. But again, is that another cat?
Still
I don't
heightened.
Know. Yeah. I reckon he is just like that all the time, personally. Always there to have a good laugh.
So maybe it's best not to meet him, because...
Yeah. It is true. It's
sounds
one of those.
Like he can only disappoint...
No.
True.
I wanted to meet Kevin Bridges, and he didn't disappoint.
No?
He was...
No.
See?
It wasn't like he was cracking jokes, but he was still just nice and funny.
I guess, though, Lee Evans plays more of a character, doesn't he?
He does, exaggerated,
you know, so the likelihood is that's probably not what he's like in his downtime.
I don't know if I would want to meet him, just because of the fact I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I think I'd just be so starstruck, just shaking. sort of staring at him, yeah. But again, I would love to
chicken
meet
him. For
dinner. I've cooked it myself.
What about you, Max?
I'm a very big fan of Dan Harmon, who wrote Community and Rick and Morty and stuff. Yeah, that's, yeah, Dan Harmon. We'll go Dan. Big Dan, Big D.
Greg Davis, he seems like a good storyteller. Like
exactly.
And his comedy isn't kind of making jokes and stuff. He does tell these genuine stories that I imagine would be quite entertaining to have for a night.
Greg so Davis,
I'll
then.
Take.
Greg he's Davis. Big, though. He's probably going to eat a lot.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I'm a good cook, so.
Steve Coogan I'd go for.
Oh, good shout, to be fair. It'd be funny.
We just, go back and forth, probably crack out the notepad, get up in characters going. Thank you very much for watching the podcast. Apologies to everyone we may have offended. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I've been joined by Tom Cooney.
Chin up, Craig.
Max Smith.
Thank you.
David Rees.
Thank you.
And our producer, Joe McGrath. Stay safe, stay humble, and ciao.